Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 174. In this show, the title is Build It and They Will Come. No, they're not coming. They're not coming at all, folks. But in this episode, we're going to give some information. I was influenced by doing this episode by a post I read on somebody else's website as well. And we have the links to all the resources. But there's a lot of people out there that think that if they build a fabulous membership website and they get tremendous content in it, then they're going to do their marketing. It doesn't work out that, folks. We have pushed this a number of times, but because it's so important, I thought we would touch on the subject again. I've got my great co-host with me, Kurt, as well. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Sure thing, Jonathan. My name is Kurt von Annen. I own an agency called Manana No Mas, and we work directly with the awesome team over at WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. But it's not going to be all negative, folks, because in some ways, there's never been a better time. There's a lot of things you can do to promote your upcoming membership website. There's a lot you can do to get a small audience ready for your initial course. There's a lot of things you can do that won't cost you a lot of money to promote yourself, but you are going to have to promote yourself. So we're here with some tips and insights to make sure that you don't build it and nobody comes. So before we go into the meat and potato of the show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors that enables us to make this for you, folks. We will be back in a few moments.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out we've got some fabulous free resources. We've got some special offers from the sponsors. We've got a curated list of the best WordPress technology and resources. Plus, we've got a really cheap course that tells you how to build a WordPress membership website from beginning to end, done by Kirk himself. You can get all these resources by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. You'll find all the goodies there, folks. So I gave you this topic, gave you some quick show notes. What got your own thoughts about this subject before we go into the bullet points that I've outlined, Kurt?
Well, from an agency perspective, Jonathan, I think we've all been down this path multiple times. You know, as part of my discovery process, I'll ask people, you know, do you have an audience for this project? You know, do you have an audience? Because what I'm really asking is, do you have funding for this? Is this a funded project? You know, do you have an audience? And a lot of times we're like, oh yeah, we got that handled. Everything's square, blah, blah, blah. And when push comes to shove, when you ask for specifics, they don't have an audience. They have an idea of an audience, but they don't have an audience. And I'll just give you a for example would be, hey, I have a relationship with these two or three colleges because I have friends that are on the administration staff at these three or four schools. And so you make this assumption that you're going to be able to build something that you perceive as a need and that your friends are going to pick up the ball and run with it for you. Like, you're going to build it and then you're going to email your three or four friends and your three or four friends are going to share it with the 10,000 people that they can contact through the school. You know, you're going to get 8,000 students all giving you $50 a month. It's a nice dream in your head, but it doesn't work out that way. And that's, a lot of people hit a reality bump. Like they get most of the website done or most of the curriculum drawn up. And then they start to realize, like, I really don't have committed students yet. There's a difference between an idea of an audience and a committed audience. And it's very, very important that you know the difference between them and you allocate your skills, resources, whatever, accordingly.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Thanks for that. The other factor, folks, is this is why it's, and we've discussed this in a lot of the episodes of this show, folks, is this is why you want to get a landing page up. This is why you want to do a short course. Don't think by putting everything into one enormous course that's going to help you be more successful doing the next course and then building that bigger one when you've tested, when you know there's an audience. It's fabulous. It will enable you to charge more. But initially, this is all the wrong timing, basically. You need to build a minimum viable course. You need to talk to a few people on social media and have a chat with them. Try and be helpful on social media. Build a rapport, a relationship. Then maybe have a quick Zoom with them, write some notes, find out what their problems are. And that should be the basis of your initial course. And try and deal with a scalable problem that comes in light with the very minimum research that I'm suggesting you do. I'm not suggesting that you talk to hundreds of people. I'm talking maybe 3 to 6, half a dozen people. Join different groups. There's whatever niche you're going into, there will be Facebook groups, Slack groups, YouTube channels, LinkedIn groups, LinkedIn discussions. There's loads of discussions out there, isn't there, Kurt?
Well, there are. There are. And it's such a tricky thing because, you know, that imposter syndrome that people suffer from, right? How are you going to sign into a new group as a new face, a new name, and act like you have all the answers? And you know what? If that's the way you feel getting into that space, that's a really big red flag to you that you're not prepared yet to sell your course. You've really got to. I've seen the other thing too, Jonathan, where people want to build the perfect platform, the perfect, you know, design before they move forward. And I don't think we could say it strongly enough. You've got to get some momentum. You've got to get some mojo behind you to get over the imposter syndrome, to recognize that you're the expert in the space and to be able to sell and generate revenue off of this concept. And the sooner you do it, the easier it's going to be. The longer you wait, the more you procrastinate and the more you distract yourself with trying to make something better before you let somebody see it, the harder it's going to get to jump over that boundary.
Yeah. And the other big shame, folks, is I've seen this a few times. People build a really large course and then they do start to market and it doesn't go well. And then they get deflated, they get a bit depressed, and then they stop. And all that time and energy they put in. And I've seen a few courses, folks, and a couple of them come to mind. And they were really good. I thought they could be highly successful,
yeah,
folks. But they just gave up. And marketing, finding the right language, the right pitch, the right, you're probably not going to get it. You're not going to be successful straight away. You're not going to get it right. If you do a bit of research and you write some notes and you talk to a few people and you find out a real pain point, that probably will diminish it. But getting the landing page right and getting the wording right, you're probably going to have to do it a couple of times. But if you've got a small course, and I've seen this with a lot of people that have been successful, they do the small course, they get the first batch of students, they learn the ropes, and then they use that small course as a lead magnet, basically, to sell a larger course at a higher price. But they use either it's a very low monthly ticket subscription price, or it's a one-off. And they just use it as a glorified lead magnet to get people, because unless you've got a big reputation, it's really hard to get, or you've got your marketing really spot on, it's really hard to get people to open their wallet that haven't purchased anything from you or haven't followed you for quite a while. It's really quite difficult, isn't it, Kurt?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you think about, you know, we've mentioned it on a few shows, but I've got that Power Sports product. And at the Power Sport Academy, we have just what you described. We have a three-lesson quick course. And the third lesson is just resources to download. It's not like it's, you know, so it's really two lessons. It's $27, you know. And what are we trying to sell? Well, we're trying to sell a $45,000 training program, right? But that $27... it's that it breaks the ice. It gets them to, you know, swipe their credit card and make a purchase, get something right away, right? So it starts to set that relationship, right? They gave us something, we gave them something, they get something of value, they apply it, it works, and they go, man, how much would it cost to get more of this? Well, we've got different packages, right? 2,500, 12,000, 45,000. The goal is to get people on the 45 grand. For people that are hearing these numbers out in the audience right now, Jonathan, they're probably thinking, well, that guy's crazy. But I'm in a very specific niche and I've established myself well and I've done a lot of work. Jonathan will tell you, for the first 4 years, this product wasn't going anywhere. And it took us a long time to learn, to tweak things, and to generate flow. And it took a long time, but we're finally getting there. Like, the light's at the end of the tunnel, and we are, you know, this close to solid revenue for 26 and 27.
That's good. It's excellent to hear. So just to recap, before we go into have our break and we go into the second half of the show, it's audience problem. What I mean by that, you haven't done any research. You haven't joined any of the groups. You haven't found what their problems are. You haven't built any relationships. I'm not saying go in there, but just be helpful. You know, plan this about three, 4, 5, 6 months out, join some groups, find the language, write stuff down, be helpful, answer stuff, and then find the main problem that your mini course can solve. Then develop a landing page that emphasizes the end result. It mustn't talk about you. You can talk about you further down the page, but before the fold, that's the fold is the area on your phone, on your tablet, on your desktop that will show whatever device it's on. That area, it's got to be about solving the problem that your target audience has, right? You know, the second thing is, you know, you've got to do your research, you know, can you solve this problem, blah, blah, blah. The other reason is you're not doing enough marketing, but it doesn't have to. I noticed recently there's a hosting provider called Liquid Web, and they have a lot of plugins, and they got rid of all their landing page for these specific plugins. They are throwing a ton of money at Facebook. I mean, they are throwing the kitchen sink on Facebook marketing. God knows how much. We don't have that kind of budget. And I wouldn't, even if you did, I would strongly advise you not to spend any money on Facebook until you got your initial launch done under your belt, and then you might be able to think about it. So we're going to go for our middle break, and when we come back, we're going to go through some things that I think, and hopefully Kurt's got some ideas about how you should market, how you should build audience, and how you can get success. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Want to point out that if you want to support the show, the best way is to go to the WP Tonic YouTube channel and subscribe to the channel. Got a ton of resources there. Got a ton of free resources. It will help, covers everything that we cover in this podcast. And if you're looking for great hosting, great support, and much, much more, go over to WP Tonic. With WordPress, you get the freedom of design. You get the freedom of ownership, maximum ownership of your intellectual property. And I think WP Tonic offers the best package in the WordPress space. So let's have a look. Now, the obvious one, YouTube. I've got quite a few inquiries from YouTube. I'm going to up my game. I'm going to get back into it. But I've made a few mistakes, really haven't concentrated enough. Too wordy thumbnails. Concentrate more on the thumbnail. Do research on the titles. There's no point in making a YouTube video where nobody's searching for that topic. Obviously, if it's too competitive, you put the term in and you look at the competition, and if that competition has got hundreds of thousands, like the first 3 to 4 videos, the people there have got hundreds of thousands of subscribers and views, you're probably not going to compete. But you might be able to modify the tagline, the search term, in so it's less competitive. I haven't done it, and I've learnt my lesson. You've got to look, not feverishly. There's a lot of YouTube trainers that want you to spend hour upon hour in YouTube analytics. You don't have to do that, but you do have to look at, it's really easy to do A/B testing in YouTube. It's really amazing. Don't do this at the same time, but you can do A and B testing of your thumbnails. You can put up 2 thumbnails, test which one, give it a week or couple of days, and you'll be able to see which one is winning. And then you can test the tagline as well. And a small change in the tagline can make a big difference to how many people are viewing your video. And I've been doing some training lately in this area, and I plan to really up my game in this. But you don't have to do dramatic stuff to make your videos viewable and get some traffic to your initial course. What do you reckon, Kurt?
I'm in the same boat as you in the regards to following through, right? So best of intentions, you know, some knowledge, right? A little bit of knowledge can be a good thing, but it really does come down to how much time are you allotting to this? How much effort are you allotting to these activities? For me to spend hours searching up keywords and search phrases and stuff on YouTube, that's a very difficult proposition. But like Jonathan just pointed out, if you don't do that and you don't, you know, architect the right tagline or the right, you know, meeting notes or not meeting notes, video descriptions, what I'm trying to say, and Google doesn't serve you up to anybody, it's all wasted time anyway. And that's the really hard pill to swallow. The really hard pill to swallow is you've got to have strategy. You know, you can't just flip on the camera, record something and post it. I know that there's some experts on social that tell you that you can, but it's I think those people are shifty at best. You've got to do the research. You've got to have a strategy. You're better off to have, you know, 5 to 10 good videos that place well, that get recommended, than you are to have 50 videos that sit in an account with no views.
And the reality, especially if you're in full-time employment or you're running, you know, both me, you know, Kirk works with me at WP Tonic, but he's got his own agency. I'm running mine. A lot of people got part-time employment, full-time employment, they're doing this. The reality is you're going to, I kind of concentrate on maybe 3 social media channels, LinkedIn. The problem with LinkedIn, I am going to go back to posting a bit more. I find the discussions on LinkedIn to be a little bit sterile, to be truthful. It's probably I need to find a group of people that I can follow and I can contribute to the conversation. I need to do that, because if you don't, a lot of the conversations aren't particularly that interesting. I'm going to concentrate on YouTube. I don't know if I'm going to, I'm committed to podcasting. I don't know if I'm going to cut down on the podcasting, but it will always be part of my marketing. I just have to see how things go, but I definitely am going to concentrate on YouTube. And the other one is Twitter. I do put stuff on Twitter and I do comment. I probably don't do enough. It comes in batches. I find the discussions on Twitter to, in some ways, frustrating, but they are more engaging, and I do tend to stay away from the pure poison that's on Twitter. There is a lot of pure poison on the platform, not only on the political. I mean, just in WordPress, just in, there are a lot of very negative people. But what I'm trying to make is you do need to be on all channels, social media channels, but there's only going to be 1 or 2 that you can really concentrate on. There just isn't the bandwidth to get a result, is there, Kurt?
Well, and one of the things I wanted to squeeze into our conversation today, Jonathan, was out of all of these things that, you know, you have to do, there's going to be 1 or 2 that really speak to you as a person, as an individual. And those are the ones that you seize and you master, and then you kind of move some things around. So I'm very comfortable in the LinkedIn space. I've found good people in there. I have people that share my content. I share their content. That to me is part of the key of success in social, is not just you post stuff, right? But you post something and then someone else reposts it for you. Now you're getting exposure to their circles. And so you want to start looking at those kinds of relationships. Now, the thing like LinkedIn, perfect example is LinkedIn. LinkedIn has newsletters. LinkedIn has posts. LinkedIn has live streaming available. LinkedIn has all these things that a lot of people aren't aware of or don't leverage. So I'll give you just a quick example. I made a newsletter for one of my projects and put out like an episode. Well, I didn't realize how many people had read it, because in LinkedIn, it doesn't come at you. Like it doesn't bombard your screen and say, you've had 50 people read your newsletter. The next time I went to look at my newsletter, which was like a month later, I had like 618 subscriptions to that newsletter. And I was like, oh, crud. Like, that's doing better than the email that I send out from my own website. And so what do? Right. I start leveraging that newsletter, you know, like, share, follow, and sending the invites out to promote that newsletter. But not everybody finds success there. Like, you're, as an individual, you're different. Your niche is different. Your writing style is different. And so everyone's going to have different results, but find that spot that works for you. For some people, it's Facebook. I'm not a Facebook, but for some reason, I don't have Facebook magic. I can start a Facebook group and nobody shows up. I can start a Facebook page and a few people show up. I seem to do pretty well in LinkedIn. Jonathan, you know, he might not want the public kudos, but I think he does pretty good in YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos and I've got 110 subscribers. Obviously, I've missed something, So now we're going back. We're looking at titles and subtitles and notes and thumbnails and all that
I think we got LinkedIn on the list, but I think Kirk's really covered it. I think I need, because of all the factors, I just need to find certain people that are posting regularly in the particular target audience. And I need to, you know, reply, contribute, and getting more involved in the discussions. It's very similar with Twitter. You can use it. I've just been using LinkedIn as a broadcast medium, and I've been using not quite so much Twitter as that. And you're not going to get the... They are social media platforms, so you've got to get into discussions. But if you do that, folks, I think both Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, I'm a bit like Kirk. The only one, there are a group like TikTok, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, and I'm talking about short videos. I think you can cut up your... I've been doing it. I had a guest on my podcast, TJ Robinson, and he said he's an SEO expert based in Las Vegas, really nice guy. Over 15 years experience in SEO. Didn't agree with everything he says, but he's used TikTok doing short videos, putting those short videos on YouTube as well. Does one every morning when he's walking his dog. Does minimum editing. He puts about an hour every day into it. And he told me about four times that's where he's been getting all his leads from. So short form video definitely works. Choosing one or two social media platforms to have discussion works. YouTube works. It's massive. It's the second biggest search engine out there now. It's growing still. It's got its... I'm not talking about getting a blowout video and all these crowd that wants you to monetize and get a massive audience. You know, you might be able to do... I'm talking about building your influence and getting people to sign up for your minimum viable course. That's what I'm talking about in this video. The last two, doing podcasts, going on podcasts. This is a little bit you know, but a lot of podcasts, you can be a guest, and a lot of people do the interviewing at night because they're in work themselves. So it's still possible to get onto podcasts. The bigger ones, they tend to do it during the day because they're running their business full time. But there's loads of people to get on podcasts. Even if you're in full time work, you can do it in the evening. And being a guest on podcasts about your subject and promoting pre-promoting your landing page, just a fantastic way of getting that initial batch of students, planning this a little bit. There's about four or five podcast website where for a minimum fee they will allow you to outreach to various podcasts. It's a kind of DIY setup, right? You can pay monthly, you can just pay for a month or 3 months. And then they supply you a database of, and using their platform, you can do outreach to people that are running podcasts, and then you can get on their show. I will have the two to three that I've used. I gave up on this a bit because it was quite time consuming getting on people's podcasts. You have to do a fair bit of outreach, especially if they've got bigger audiences. But I did learn from it as well. So that's quite doable. And then also doing your own podcast is a commitment. It's not as difficult. It's getting the RSS feed set up. I use Casto. There's about over a dozen of these RSS feeds platforms out there. Some are free. A lot of the platforms that offer free level tends to be very minimum. I would avoid the totally free platforms because they tend to come and go, and it's a pain in the ass to move your RSS feed off one platform to the other. I was on another platform, and Castro helped me out, and they actually moved everything for me. But podcasting, I think it's a great way. If you're doing a podcast yourself, it's a great way of building. If you're in this, you're not going to get a massive audience. It's not going to pay for itself, but it gives you a lot of credence. And podcasting is growing. It's growing at about 27% a year. And it's getting more popular, and it's merging. Netflix are going to be doing podcasting in the near future. Spotify have become a big player. YouTube. There's a lot of overlap between what is an audio podcast and what is a YouTube video. We record these and I put them on YouTube myself. But I see it as a great way of going on other podcasts and also doing your own. What do you think, Kurt?
I think it's important to come to the idea of podcasting, understanding what your goal is or your motivation. So Jonathan's right. If you do it, you got to commit to it. Just as an example, when I'm interviewing someone on the Mañana No Mas podcast, or when we're interviewing people on the WP Tonic show together as me and Jonathan, the spotlight's on the guest. The spotlight's not on you, right? So you're not showcasing your skills, your talents, your services, your products, nothing. You're just helping somebody else showcase their stuff. But the benefit is that you are, by association, showing that you have intelligence or relatability, right? So a lot of times, so I've done like 130-something interviews on my own podcast. And for me, it's like, no, these are the types of people that I know that I can associate with, that helps build your credibility, right? Your credence, as Jonathan said. But when you guest on someone else's podcast, well, then that spotlight should shift over to you. So it's important that when you guest on somebody's podcast, you kind of understand what the motivation is. I've interviewed people that have come as guests to my show and have no pitch. They have no idea what product to sell, what to recommend, a call to action, nothing. So it's very important that if you go onto other people's podcasts, you want to find out kind of like what the boundary is. We're going to have a conversation about X, Y, and Z. Well, are you going to mention your website? You're going to say like, share, and follow, or come visit me, or use this coupon code to get a discount on this product or whatever. You want to make sure that there's some type of call to action that would inspire the listener to do something with you, right? Because once you're done on that podcast, you're probably not coming back to that podcast. It's very rare that people come back over and over and over again to the same podcast. And so that's your shot. You got to take your shot and you got to run with it. And at the same time, you can't be like a blatant commercial, so that you've got to have enough skill to be able to say, I'm going to add this kind of value. I'm going to have this, you know, this interactive of a conversation, but I'm also going to let you know where you can get my goods and services at. And you've got to blend that in a way that's marketable and that doesn't alienate the hosts so that you get referred to do other shows.
Yeah, most experienced hosts, they know that at the end of the podcast, they will assist you to push it. You should have some offerings, you should have the landing page for the course. That's all you need. And most hosts do have, well, a lot of them are cut back on having a website, but most of the more serious ones do. Now, if you're doing your own podcast, don't think your guests are going to promote the show at all before and after. You might get some social media. If you've got a big audience, they might promote it on social media just to get, you know, just to get credence by coming on your show. Or they just want to talk about it because they're excited to come on it. So you might get some mentions beforehand on social media. Apart from that, they're not going to do anything. They're not plugging it at all. Most hosts, they will have show notes. They will have backlinks. If they've got a reasonable website with good domain authority, it could help your website. to get that back link. So for the cost, for the time you're going to have to put into it, I think it's very beneficial. I think even doing your own podcast, you don't have to get it to the top quality. My first host, Bill, the Sound Nazi, he did the sound and he spent like 4 or 5 hours on one episode. It was really, because he wanted to get it up to like 98% quality. He was the type of guy that had a Shure mic. He had a small amateur studio. He knows his stuff, but I have an editor does a pretty good job. I'm using a pretty good mic, but it's only 200. A Shure mic that Bill had is probably $2,500, $3,000. This is a $200 USB mic. And I'm quite happy with it. But it's a great way of marketing yourself. So, Kurt, are there any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Oh, I don't think so, Jonathan. I mean, we hit the main things, man. Keep it simple. Don't create a huge project for yourself. Minimal viable product and a wide open net of marketing to try and funnel people to it.
But don't be scared of it. It's not jet science. Join groups. You know, I'm going to build a course, but I'm going to spend 4-5 months out there on groups, getting on podcasts, doing my own podcast, doing a few videos. I'm just going to get myself out there. And then I'm either get WP Tonic to build a small course for me or host at WP Tonic. And they're going to help me set it up and they're going to build, and then I'm going to build a small course. I'll be able to build a landing page. They give us the tools to do it. We set up all the emails. We give you Fluent CRM so you can build up your news. That's the other thing, to get yourself out there. Your whole purpose on your first course is actually start building a list up and then using it as a trigger to get other people in to build up your newsletter, your email list. That's the whole point of it. If you're looking for advice, you can go to the WP Tonic website and book a free consultation with either me and Kurt. It's totally free for the first half hour or 40 minutes, whatever. It's totally free. We're more than happy to answer any questions about setting up a membership website. We will be back next week with hopefully more useful insights. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.